Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, brought to you by SeatGeek. The Locked On Clippers podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, DJ Foster. I am also your host who did not watch the game tonight. Let me explain. So, if you're in the Los Angeles area, if you're south of Los Angeles area like me, you may have noticed that tonight's game was not televised. It wasn't available on Fox Sports Prime Ticket. Wasn't available on Fox Sports San Diego for me, and it wasn't nationally televised. So, if you wanted to watch the Clippers game, you had to seek out some online feeds. You had to go hunting. And that gave me some unfortunate flashbacks to the days where I would have to go online to watch every Clippers game, and I was Xing out crazy pop-ups, and just clicking the wrong button, having viruses come from everywhere. And I just thought, you know what? Do I need to do this? Do I have to do this for a preseason game? Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Allen Anderson all took the night off. Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, Rodney Hood, Alec Burks all took the night off for the Jazz. I thought, you know what? Tonight's probably a pretty good night. Spend some time with the wife. Long game, long season ahead, 82 games. This would be a good DNP night. So I didn't watch the game, but I'm not leaving you hanging. We're still doing a podcast. I'm not going to pretend like I know what happened during the game, because that would be wrong. So I put the call out on Twitter to you guys. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm at Fox Sports Foster. I put the call out to you guys because I figured there's some people who are crazy, who sought this game out and watched it. And you guys didn't let me down. So I asked for a recap in 140 characters of the Clippers game tonight. Now, this is kind of fun because it brought me back to my past. I'm going to kind of go in the Wayback Machine with a little story time. I wrote for Clipper Blog, was my first writing job. Clipper Blog was a site created by Kevin Arnovitz in 2005. It was one of the first Clipper team blogs. That and Clips Nation, they started at right around the same time. And it was just a one-man show. Kevin Arnovitz did his thing. And I remember I would comment on the site, and I was very active in the message board and all that. And one night, Kevin Arnovitz puts out the call and says, I'm not going to be able to watch the game tonight. If someone wants to watch the game and write a recap on it, send it to me to this email address. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. Like, okay. Maybe I'm up for this. I think I was 19 years old at the time. I was like, okay, I've never really written anything. Was just working in hotels. Wasn't in school for journalism or anything cool like that. But just sent an email out to Kevin Arnovitz. It was a Clippers-Lakers game. Sent him my recap. Kevin reads it, and he likes it, and he posts it on the site. And I was hooked. I never turned back after that. Kevin stayed patient with me and worked with me and totally took me under his wing. I had no idea how lucky I was at the time. Ended up turning it into a job with the Clippers, job with ESPN Los Angeles. Now I'm working for Fox Sports. So my whole career started with a call for a recap from a game that someone couldn't watch. So I thought I'd trace back to my roots. I couldn't watch this game, so I thought I'd put the call out on Twitter. It's a little different climate now. I don't have a place for a full recap to live. So I just asked for 140 characters. So here's what the people on Twitter, you guys really showed up, sent to me recapping tonight's game. Just so you have some context, the Jazz beat the Clippers 104-78 in a blowout. Again, without the big three, hard to expect much of anything in a preseason game. Wasn't taken too seriously, but here are the recaps. Aditya, who's a writer for SB Nation for Clips Nation, says Rudy Gobert is Cole Aldrich now. How dare you speak ill of Cole Aldrich? No one can measure up to Cole Aldrich. There was a funny thing posted earlier from 538 Sports where they ranked the best players in the league last year based on some crazy formula. I don't know. I didn't really look at it. I just saw a graph. I'm one of those people that just see graphs and don't really read what they're about. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Cole Aldrich was listed, I think, like as the seventh best player in the NBA last year. Rudy Gobert was behind him. So there's that. Clippers. Q-L-I-P-P-E-R-S. My boy says, if the game isn't on national or regional TV, does that mean the game never happened? It's hard to argue with. Tree falls in the woods. What's the saying? If a tree falls in the woods, is there a bear that poops there? Something like that. Michael LaPointe says, here's his recap. I love it. It's almost in haiku form. He says, where are the starters? JJ still cold. Austin looks better. Too much stone. Down early. Will we close the gap? Nope. So there's the story of the game. Too much stone. Too much of a good thing. Classic. Eduardo Sanchez says, Jamal hit a three. JJ got a layup. Ray hit a shot at the first quarter buzzer. Spates made shots, because of course he does. He gets buckets. I added that part in. Not enough characters for that. Luke dunked the ball. We lost. That's from Eduardo Sanchez. Lane J3, who's a Jazz fan, but also a listener of the show, says, Utah showed why they have the number one rated bench in the NBA. Rudy Gobert is in full beast mode right now. I talked about this a little bit earlier when the Clippers played the Jazz a couple of games ago, that I think Rudy Gobert is the most underrated big man in the NBA. The way that he can move his feet, that he can shut down a pick and roll 30 feet from the basket, and yet still be a great rim protector and just deter people from coming into the paint at all. He's a great defensive rebounder. He can run the floor, and you have to guard him in the paint. Someone that big, that athletic, that long, it's just alley-oop city, as we've seen with DeAndre Jordan. It's just alley-oop city if you don't show him the respect that someone that close to the basket deserves. So I think Gobert, with another healthy season under his belt, he's really going to surprise some people this year. He's one of the best defensive players in the league, in my mind. And that was it. Good answers from you guys on Twitter. So hopefully that gives you a little better grasp of the game if you're like me and you couldn't watch. Too much stone. Still can't believe that. Let's take a quick look at the box score. We'll just scroll through here. Diamond Stone played 14 minutes. 1-for-2, 4-for-6 from line, 5 rebounds. Seems like a perfectly fine game, but the box scores, as you know, are often very misleading. It is good to see Austin Rivers got back on track. He was 6-for-12 tonight. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Best preseason game for him by far. Shooting 50% of the field is a victory based on what he was shooting coming into the game. He was right around, I believe it was like 30% in the preseason. First few games, small sample size, but it's good to see Austin get back on track. And then the Clippers, they didn't really have a whole lot going other than that. Jamal had 10 points, 3-for-10. Brandon Bass had 12 points in 37 minutes. Awful lot for Brandon Bass. But the Clippers weren't ever really in this game. They mounted a little bit of a comeback in the second quarter, but the Jazz won pretty handily, 104-78. Again, this is a deep Utah team. And I was listening to David Locke. Ugh, that's good. David Locke with the Locked On Jazz podcast. And he was talking about this game a little bit and recapping it. And they're very impressed with the way the Jazz, they're players who aren't really expected to play very much, kind of hung around with the Clippers' main bench guys. Utah is deep. They're super deep. They're going to give the Clippers some issues if they match up with each other just because they are so deep. They have so many different options they can throw at you. And defensively, there really isn't going to be a huge drop-off from the starters to the bench like there will be for the Clippers. Now, again, I do think the Clippers bench is better than Utah's when it comes to scoring. I think the Clippers will have an easier time offensively than the Jazz bench will. But this Jazz defense, man, is going to be a nightmare for opponents all year long. It's interesting that the Clippers and the Jazz have met up twice already this preseason, because the home opener for the Clippers this year is against the same Utah Jazz team. If you're looking for tickets for that game, I suggest you use SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for all the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for any game upcoming this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners, you guys, get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's all you got to do. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOCLIPPERS. That's LOCLIPPERS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. So if you missed tonight's game like I did, there's some good news for you. The Clippers are right back at it tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in Sacramento, the final preseason game of the year. The regular season is almost upon us. They'll take on the Kings in Sacramento at 7 o'clock. That game is nationally televised on ESPN. So hurrah! No worries about tomorrow night. Everybody will be able to watch. Tune in for that one. We're going to take you home tonight with a little excerpt of a conversation I had with Nate Duncan on the Dunked On Basketball podcast. I highly advise that you subscribe to that podcast. You go listen. He did team previews for all 30 teams. I was the representative for the Clippers. Lucky me. I got to talk with Nate for about an hour. All Clippers topics. We exercised some demons. We talked about what the future can hold, what he thinks about Blake Griffin. We actually disagreed on quite a few things, which always makes for good podcasts. So you should check that out. I'm going to play you a little excerpt from it. Again, this is me talking with Nate Duncan on the Dunked On Basketball podcast.
All right, best case scenario for these guys, what do you see it as?
Best case scenario, I think, is a 2 seed. I just don't see any way that Golden State falls from that 1 seed. Even with injuries, they have enough to maintain. So I think the best seed is that the Clippers survive the regular season healthy. They pick up a small forward who fits in wonderfully with the starting lineup, and they roll into the postseason for once completely healthy, well-rested, with home court advantage, avoiding the Warriors until hopefully the Western Conference Finals. I think that's the best case scenario for the Clippers.
Yeah, and I think they will match up reasonably well against San Antonio, although having someone to guard Kawhi Leonard, I think, is going to be a little bit of a problem for them. Like, they were able to get away with the likes of Jamal Crawford guarding him in 2015, and then Leonard's just incredible growth over the last year and a half or so, I think, is now going to obviate that strategy, and so they're going to need to then put one of their small forward in the game and see if they can, if he can guard Kawhi, and then they might have a little bit of trouble on the defensive end against the Spurs. And then also, you know, who's going to guard LaMarcus Aldridge on the team? I guess you probably would say maybe we'll put DJ on him, and I think DJ could shut him down a little bit. And then I guess that's going to leave Pau Gasol and Blake Griffin matchup. I think Griffin can handle that matchup. That would just be an absolutely fascinating series. I hope we get that in the second round. And I think from a wins total, I mean, like 59 wins would probably be the ceiling for these guys. I would say I don't see them quite getting to 60 just because they never have it in this era, and I think they've had better teams previously.
Right. I would agree with that. I think 60 is a fair ceiling. And again, just based on what we were talking about a few minutes ago, I don't think there's a big rush to get to this magic number win mark, right? They just want to survive, be healthy, and be ready for the playoffs. So I'm right in the range. I think I predicted them for 55 wins, a 2-win improvement from last year, right around their Vegas over-under. I can see them winning 55 pretty easily.
Yeah, and I think I had them at 53, just slightly under that. I mean, I think that was a good line for them, and you know, 55 certainly wouldn't surprise me. I think I was just more regression from some of the older guys. Maybe injuries was more the reason for that, I think. And if, I guess you could say, you know, I said, hey, they've never won 60 with this group. But I think every year, the last 3 years, at least in the Rivers era, they've had either one of Paul or Griffin go down for at least 20 games. Am I right about that?
I believe so. Yeah, that sounds right. So if best case scenario, they both stay healthy. I mean,
yeah, 13-14, Paul had that shoulder injury when he kind of fell on his shoulder. And then Blake had the elbow thing last year, and then or 2 years ago. And then last year was Blake with the quad and then the broken hand. So yeah, maybe if all those guys stay healthy, they could get to 60. Maybe I'm giving a little bit of short shrift here. I'd say, what do you think the worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario, you lose two of the big three to injury at the same time. Any two of those three, then the losses start to pile up a little bit. Maybe the pressure starts to mount. Even in the worst case scenario, the Clippers are a playoff team in my mind. I can't envision a scenario where the Clippers miss the playoffs. As long as they have one of those, if they have Chris Paul or Blake Griffin healthy, it's a playoff team. So I think worst case would be a seven seed, a six or a seven seed with 45-46 wins. The floor for this team is one of the highest in basketball.
All right, hope you enjoyed that. You can listen to the rest of that interview on Nate Duncan's Dunked on Basketball podcast. If you have questions for this show, you can send an email to @fosterdj3@gmail.com. Thank you guys again for your Twitter responses. You can follow me, you can ask me questions, you can block me on Twitter @FoxSportsFoster. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. We'll be back tomorrow covering the Clippers and Kings. 7 o'clock ESPN tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone.